Andrew Holden, a journalist for more than 30 years, including 5 as editor of The Press in Christchurch and 4 as editor-in-chief of The Age in Melbourne, is our media commentator. Welcome back.
And Happy New Year to you.
It's going to be a big year on just about every front going. And some really interesting starting points for particularly the platforms when we talk about social media and where social media meets mainstream media. We're getting to some quite interesting pinch points.
We're getting some fascinating pinch points. I don't know about you, but one of my supposed summer promises was to put the phone down and not check out Twitter, but I couldn't help myself because what went down in America was so extraordinary and fascinating. I had to follow it so much. Of course, the ultimate consequence between being January 6th and the attack on the Capitol, and the fallout from that is really remarkable, isn't it? Because we had 4 years of President Trump breaking every norm, telling lies continually, any number of mainstream media detailing a number of lies, but it never seemed to matter until that moment when the incitement is, we're going to see whether the Democrats can convince the Senate that that's what happened, his incitement of that right, and therefore the attack really changed everything. So, you know, since then, and it's not that long ago, we've seen Trump banned from the likes of Twitter and Facebook. We've seen Amazon kick fringe social media networks like Parler off so that they can't continue. And this real question of what is the responsibility of social media to control this sort of this debate, the hate and the lies, and many commentators suggesting that that's the moment where it all really changes.
Except how much of that is simply that Georgia had just been lost and there was now a Democratic majority in the House and Senate, and all of a sudden, let's just check the wind and do a couple of bans.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about that. And I think that will be the fascinating element of the year is, will governments actually step into that area and start looking at some regulation? Certainly, the Privacy Commission here in New Zealand, John Edwards, said it's not, it really shouldn't be for the likes of Facebook or Twitter to make these judgments. It should be created by a regulator, and his description of their movements was arbitrary and cynical. Do we think there's going to be enough momentum to do that? I'm doubtful, to be honest, whether governments will really step into that area of trying to control social media.
What they tried to explain it away as was a breach of their terms and conditions, not that we are the censors,
yep,
but a breach of terms and conditions, which makes you wonder what happened last time. And you know, are those terms and conditions going to be beefed up to talk about things like you cannot incite violence against others?
Oh, absolutely. And who determines that those terms and conditions are good enough, right?
And also, who's going to do the moderating in these circumstances?
Yeah, very much so. So to me, that will be a key theme of the year. The other element out of the consequences of January 6th and 4 years of Trump is the mainstream media itself, not the social media. And there's a number of organisations, including the likes of the Washington Post, saying we need to take some time to have a look at how we handle it and what would we do differently. And there's obviously a lot of concern around Fox News and an attempt to get the likes of Rupert Murdoch to accept some responsibility, including his own disaffected son, James Murdoch, who came out without naming Fox News, basically accused it of propagating lies and being part of this.
This is the thing. It's not even about the politics in the end. It's about, can you hold people responsible for the propagating of absolutely demonstrable falsehoods that carry consequences?
Yes.
Now, what do you do when the President of the United States is doing that? And this to me is the nub of it. It's not, you know, it's not even a freedom of speech argument in some ways. It is a freedom of speech argument. Are you free to tell absolute lies and have them widely shared without consequence or without editorial intervention? Now, what mainstream media will do is go, this is a lie and we're not even publishing it, let alone then disseminating it further. This has not been stacked up to be factually true. But that's not the modus operandi of the internet.
No, it's not. And there's no responsibility that other publishers might have to other regulatory authorities, be it a broadcasting commission or anything like that. There's nothing to insist that they control it. And you're absolutely right. To me, that's going to be the core debate. Freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences. But how do you define that? And whose definition is it?
And when does a lie get to the point where it has a consequence?
Well, that's right. And the whole point with Trump, of course, is that because he spewed so many lies, while you were trying to prove the first one was a lie and give the information, he'd already gone on for another 20. So how do you approach someone in a key position for whom that is the modus operandi, not just the
you
one
see,
lie, but continual?
The normal response would be, we declare this to be a lie and we prove it to be wrong and we publish. They all did that. The potency of this thing is that once people are down their rabbit hole, it just becomes part of the conspiracy.
That's absolutely right. And certainly that ability within social media for people to create their echo chambers. And, you know, as we've seen, the extraordinary number of Americans who think that the election was stolen for Trump. They have bought the story and they fundamentally believe it. Millions of people. I mean, it's
a significant proportion of Republican voters. A very significant proportion of Republican voters.
Yeah.
Right, let's look closer to home because Australia is being the bold one here and we're sitting back and watching. And Google started to play nasty last week.
They've been threatening to play nasty for a while. So the quick recap for everybody, it's a new year, so we can't always remember what happened last year if we even want to. Australian Competition and Consumer Commission in Australia spent 18 months looking at the nature of digital media, the impact it has on normal news media, if you want to call that mainstream media, and the fact that there's no advertising dollars to keep basic journalism alive. And they've come up with a series of proposals, which is now draft legislation before the Australian Parliament. In essence, what it does is it obliges the likes of Google and Facebook to negotiate with news publishers and pay them money for the use of, or the reuse, if you like, of their material. Google's been saying for some time, we don't like that. That's going to break the internet. We can't possibly do that. So they've done two things. First of all, they did a little experiment last week, I think it was, where they cut out of search results anything that had been published by an Australian news media organisation. So if you went in and you were looking for who won the Big Bash League, you wouldn't get the Sydney Morning Herald's article about that. So they basically experimented to see what would it look like if we just wiped those people out. Then the other thing that happened last week is the Australian and New Zealand chief exec Mel Silver went in front of a Senate committee who's looking at this and said, if you pass this legislation, Google will remove Australia from its search. You will not be able to use Google in Australia. And that, of course, has triggered a huge amount of debate around whether that actually matters. I mean, they've got 95% of search results.
Come on, you've used one or two other named, other unnamed search websites,
right.
And you haven't gone back.
Exactly. So, you know, and then the likes of Bing, which comes from Microsoft, another one talked about DuckDuckGo. So the question is, how far will the Australians go? Will they get to the point of pressing the nuclear button, or at least introducing the legislation? Will Google remove itself from Australia? And what
this
will be the consequence of that?
This is where it needs to be a unified approach, which the EU is trying to take.
Yep.
You can't let people just get cut off one by one by one.
No, that's true. And Google's answer to this is, oh, we've got this lovely thing called News Showcase. We've got 40-odd publishers around the world. We're paying them some money. It's a trivial amount. The calculations I've seen in the past week is that they're spending all of 0.2% of their revenue to publishers. It's better than nothing, but it's not enough. It's not, certainly not going to be enough to keep journalists in significant number of jobs. So it's a fascinating debate, isn't it? We've got some hesitation. We've got the Nationals have come out and said we think the Australians are going too far. We'd like a review. We'd like a nice big inquiry. But I did enjoy Auckland University of Technology Computer Science Professor Dave Parry. He was interviewed by Radio New Zealand and he called Google a parasitic business model where they make money off other people's content. So it's really a really polarised debate. But there's some key elements to this, isn't there, around how do we continue to pay for journalism and who should be doing that?
The worry I have is that if too much is bitten off and fails, that you don't get a second go at it. I'm talking about it from the regulatory point of view.
Yeah.
And this is where it's difficult to see Australia, such a small player in many ways, when you put it up against the weight of all the world's information carried on Google.
True.
You would like to see, I don't know even if the EU hooked up, and trying to get the states to do anything is like, you know, what it is. But even if you saw the EU working in some kind of combined effort with other, you know, nations of similar ilk, you might start to get some critical mass around these things.
You might. And there's also that element of what's driving the Conservative government in Australia to actually do this. And in fact, is it Rupert Murdoch who's the one who will stand to gain most from this? And is in essence, he's saying, well, it doesn't worry me in terms of my multi-billion dollar business around the world to see Australia lose Google if we can prove the point and therefore I got a negotiating element
what
further.
What would happen to
it?
Your productivity? Would it go up or down?
That's right.
Probably a bit of both. It might even itself out.
Yeah, exactly. Might go back to libraries and pull out a book.
Yeah. Oh, interesting stuff. It's certainly going to be a heck of a year, Andrew, but I look across the suite of topics that we typically discuss in public discourse and current affairs, and I can't see a single area that it's not going to be a massive year.
No, absolutely. And as we know, and we talked about it late last year, you know, the key element here will be progression by the government around the merger of TVNZ, RNZ. Will that happen? What is the future of at least public journalism?
Thanks very much, Andrew Holden.